thank you so much for Rev. Simon for coming to share to give us our Monday night of our Torah, of our Torah with the Rosh Hashiva every week, and thank you so much for coming.
Okay, thank you so much for inviting me to come this evening. A thanks to Rabbi Bernstein. I think he's going to be coming sometime a little later. It's been a long time since we've had this shiur, live. Live meaning not on Zoom. And, it's good. Zoom, to a point, but after a while, it's enough to Zoom. It's good to see people in real life and interact with people and, odd kind with this Zoom to, Okay, I wanted to speak a little halacha from this week's parsha. Brachos is not always easy to find halachas in Brachos, but even though there are more halachas than you would think in Parshas Brachos, let's focus on the pasuk Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem Hotzi Lechem Vayayin V'hu Chohein Le'el Elyon. So let's talk a little bit about what's Lechem and what's Yayin and some halachas regarding Lechem and Yayin. And then some halachas of Iker and Tafel, and some Divrei Hashkafa, and we should do that all before 9 o'clock, and we'll be good. Okay, and please feel free to raise your hand if you want to ask something, you want to raise an issue. It always makes things interesting when people speak up. So I never like the lecture style. So if you want to say something, raise your hand, say something, ask something, agree with me, disagree with me, make it interesting. Okay, so lechem, we translate in Hebrew as bread, but really, that's not such a good translation. A lot of times when people translate words from the Chumash, we translate it in the way we speak, but it's not a good translation. I'll give you a classic example. Like there's an Isser Hotzah on Shabbos. So a lot of you live in places where they're Erevin, but not necessarily every place. And it's, so a lot of times people translate Hotzah as what? Carry. Now that's a bad translation. Why is that a bad translation? Because then people would say, I take a key, and I take a safety pin, and I put it on my shirt. I'm not carrying. Is that carrying? I'm not carrying. Carrying, it's in my hand, my pocket. But that's why hotzah does not mean carrying. Hotzah means taking out something from a private domain to a public domain in a way that you're not wearing it, so then that's called hotzah. Like if you would take a baby stroller from a private domain to a public domain where there's no eruv, even though you're not technically, did I carry it? I didn't carry it. I just, right? But that is considered hotzah, because hotzah is the translation of hotzah is not carrying. It's hotzah is taking it out from the private domain to the public domain. And that's why sometimes when people have these translations that are, that's what everyone says. You can't carry, So sometimes people will therefore conclude an incorrect halacha based on their incorrect translation. So we know carrying, but it's not exactly. So the same thing by lechem. Lechem is not lechem in modern Hebrew, right? Anyone knows modern Hebrew knows that lechem is bread, right? So why isn't that such a good translation? What's your name? Elisheva?
Greenberg.
Greenberg. So let me hear what you say.
There are other things that constitute a lahamun or physically heard of the other types of things.
Like what, for example?
Pita.
Pita bread, right? No, but you're on the right track. You're on the right track. We just have to... Yeah, what's your name?
Talia.
Talia?
Gutman. Like matzah.
Matzah, that's a very interesting... So matzah, you wouldn't call that bread, you say. Just the opposite. It's bread, we only have connotation of chametz. Okay, you're getting there? You're getting... Lechemoni, it's called lechem. Okay, I like what you're saying. Let's hear more. What's your name?
Ellie Shanzer. Money.
Money.
Who is this referred to, like money or the you speak about here, like the plow and stuff like that, and the lechem that you get back,
Well, you have the phrase, you know, the breadwinner. Who's the breadwinner in the family? It means who makes the money, but okay, you're all saying interesting things. So then, how would we translate? Then what would be the good translation of lechem? And carrots. carrots. You can eat carrots for I don't know how long you could eat. You can eat, tell you the truth, like, Americans are not bread eaters, really. You know, I bet you, most of you, if it wouldn't be that we had to, you know, eat bread on Shabbos, we'd probably go most of the week not even eating bread. Americans are not bread eaters. It's not part of the American diet, necessarily. But what does bread mean? What does lechem mean then? What's your name?
Yael. Flax.
Flax?
Like flour and water mixed together.
Oh, flour and water mixed together. Isn't that called dough?
I guess. But
yeah. So what? And how do you? What's the word for dough? What would be the proper word for dough? Isa. What's your name?
Kiela Modovich.
Isa, right? So then what's lechem?
Isa baked.
Oh! Excellent. Again, your name is?
Yael.
Yael, right. So Yael says that the definition of lechem is a baked product. That's the definition of a lechem. How do we know that? That's what Rav Shecht always says that. That's a big problem. How do we know that? Rav Shecht always points out we know that from the mitzvah. Well, two things we know. From the mitzvah of challah, right? When you make a dough to bake. Right, we take it from the Isa, but we do it with something that, you know, on things that are a dough that we're going to bake, like, for example, cake, cookies. See, technically, cake and cookies, as far as the halacha is concerned, is also lechem. How do I know that? What's your name?
Hannah Carvin. Is it, like, possible with kisnin stuff?
Uh-uh. You're saying well. Right, exactly. Very good. Excellent. So, Hannah's it? Yeah, so Hannah says that if you take, say, a lot of cake and cookies, say, you know, tam-tams, you study for a final and you just have about a box of tam-tams there, you just, you know, and by the time you finish, you see maybe... You know, the box is finished, you know. So then you probably were supposed to have made a chamotzi lechem min ha'aretz and bench if you're very full from that. But how does that work? If like Rav Shechter pointed out, if l'maisa, it's not bread, and lechem is bread, so then how do you make a motzi lechem and aretz on cake and cookies when you can eat a lot of them, like Anna said? So, as Rav Shechter pointed out, I think from Rav Salvechik, so what must be the answer? That lechem doesn't mean bread. Lechem means
baked tisa.
Right. Well, baked product. I mean, I guess you only bake isa. So a baked product. In other words, you can't bake meat. You know what I mean? Oh, maybe you could bake. You know, but right. In other words, baked means when you put it in the oven and there's no water there. So that's baking. So when you put a isa in the oven, so then. And so that's the definition of lechem, but not necessarily. Just like carrying, hotzah doesn't mean to carry; it means to take out. So lechem doesn't necessarily mean bread; it means baked isa. And what is yayin? Let's translate yayin. What does yayin mean? So what would you say yayin is? Well, what's the wine? Okay, obviously, but what's wrong with that translation? It's not a bad translation. What's wrong with wine? Yeah. What's your name?
Easy
Grossman.
Grossman? Yes. We could use grape juice for
Kiddush. Oh. What's your name? Lisa? Lisi. So Lisi says, what about grape juice? That's not wine, right? So if Lisa's correct, we have to see if she's correct. She's assuming that you can make Kiddush on grape juice. So if that be the case, and what do we make a Bar Piagofen on Kiddush? So and we make Kiddush al Hayayin. So then the conclusion must be that it's not wine necessarily. So how would you define then the word yayin then?
What, grapes?
Okay, what's your name?
Kayla,
right. So Kayla says, liquid grapes. What does liquid grapes mean? When you take a grape and you squeeze it, and that liquid that comes out is yayin. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Sochet Adam Eshkol Anovim, the Omer Alav Kiddush Hayom. That you could take a cluster of grapes, squeeze it, not on Shabbos, before Shabbos, and then you could say Kiddush. So Kayla says that you see from here, like what Lisi said before, that it's not, that the definition of yayin is not necessarily wine, what we call wine, but it's what? It's the liquid of a grape is yayin. Now, the question of what the assumption that Lisi said that we make Kiddush on grape juice is indeed the normative practice today, but it's not so simple. Why is it not so simple? Yeah, what's your name?
Hannah Gerber. Maybe because in the olden days they only had like wine and those products. That was the only liquids that they had.
They only had
grape juice and wine.
Right, as so therefore what?
And so therefore they made Kiddush on grape juice, not necessarily because that's the halacha, because that was the only thing available.
Well, today people do it also. people make Kiddush on grape juice or wine or, right? So, so let me ask you a question. What bracha does, do you think grape juice really should be? Shahakal. Yeah, why?
Because there's so many other things that are put in it that it kind of takes away from that grape aspect.
So you think it should be shahakal? Why, what else is put in it? Well, okay, that's an interesting point. We'll maybe get back to that. But if you wouldn't have known that we make Marpia Goffin on grape juice, what would you say the bracha should have been? Ha'etz, excellent. What, your name again?
Talia.
Talia says very well. Ha'etz. Talia's right. Really, it should have been Ha'etz. Because it comes from a vine, which is like a tree. And because it's, you don't have to replant it every year like a bush, but it's, so it should be Bar Pir Ha'etz. So why don't we do, why don't we make a Bar Pir Ha'etz on wine? Your name again?
Sarah.
Sarah?
It's crushed. If there's no longer, it's
4 liters. So, Sarah says a very interesting question. She said, "But once it's crushed, doesn't it lose its form? And when it doesn't have its original form, usually it gets shahakal. That's what. So that's a very interesting claim that you make." The thing is, that might only apply, the way the Rashba explains, is if you planted it with intent to eat it as a fruit, and then you crushed it up. But what if you planned, like the Rashba says, to plant the, to be for wine or for grape juice, you planted those grapes for that, so then maybe what? Maybe we would say that's not called crushed up, because that's the, crushed up only means when it was in, the original intent was for the whole pristine, and now you crushed it up. In contrast to when you planted it originally for that. I mean, there is a sheet that we don't do this, but the Chazon Ish has a discussion that maybe if you have oranges that you planted to become orange juice, maybe that should also be what? Right. So let me ask you, a question. So again, so why do we make, who said it, Talia? You said it, it really should be Ha'etz. So why don't we, so you could say maybe what we said before with the Rashba, that maybe the grapes for the wine were planted specifically to become wine. But then maybe it should still be Bar Pir Ha'etz. Why does it get this chashuv? You know, what's the difference between having an orange, you make a Bar Pir Ha'etz, and having the grape juice, you have a Bar Pir Ha'etz? What's this Bar Pir Ha'gathen thing? The grapes are one of the Shivas Aminim. So you're saying, therefore what?
So
they're more chashuv.
Yeah,
but if we take the other Shivas Aminim, te'ena, pomegranate juice, or something like that, you don't make a special. So it must be something special about what? About grapes, about wine, about grape juice. So what's the answer?
Because
Yes, your name again?
Shira.
Shira. So Shira says very interestingly, it's used for Kiddush. That's an interesting point you make, but the only question I have on you is, well, maybe it's the reverse. Maybe the reason why it's used for Kiddush is because it's chashuv, and not it's chashuv because it's used for Kiddush. Which came first, the horse or the wagon, so to speak?
Did the bracha come before?
Well, we assume that since it's chashuv and it got this par pri agafen, right? So then what? So therefore, they decided to use it for Kiddush and mitzvahs like you said. But that's only because it had a pre-existing chashivas. So what is that pre-existing chashivas? Your name?
Ali.
I'm sorry if I ask people to repeat. Yeah.
Maybe it's the way that it's made.
What do you mean?
I just don't know how it's made, but I know the process of like, taking grapes and doing all things to do with them, like, that would become alcohol.
Yes, you're on the right track. Ali, yeah. Talia.
Intoxication.
So Talia says, because wine, the liquid that comes out doesn't get burnt per eights because it has a special quality to it that it's mesamach. It can make someone happy. Yain yisamach levav endosh. And it also satiates and it makes one happy. So it has these qualities that it has this intoxication. Again, that doesn't mean a person should overdo it, but, you know, just within reason, obviously. So then that gave it a special chashivas to get that bracha of Bar Pri Agafen. That's what the Gemara says. So then we have to go back to Lisi and say, so then how come grape juice, according to what people are saying, is grape juice also gets Bar Pri Agafen? Do you get more happiness from grape juice than you do from orange juice or from something else? Right? So that's the question. Because if what you're saying is right, which the Gemara says what you said, so you have to be right. So then we have to go back to Lisi and say, hey, what's with the grape juice? Why is that, why does that merit the Bar Pri Agafen? So we have to go back to Shira?
Yeah,
Shira.
I was
going to
ask, what about other drinks that are alcoholic?
What are other drinks that are alcoholic, like whiskey and things like that? Right, so those things that are alcoholic, like whiskey and that, don't, because they maybe they don't have the other aspect of satiating and things like that. But that's a very good question that needs to be dealt with also. But let's get to Lisi's, the question on Lisi. So what's the answer to that question? You had the question. Lisi said you make Kiddush on grape juice. And we said the whole reason that grape juice, that wine is special, that it doesn't get, it should have been Bar Pri Eitz, right? Like someone said. But it gets the Bar Pri Agafen because it's Mesamach. But grape juice is not Mesamach. Yeah.
Maybe because wine is special, so grapes become special, and grape juice also comes from grapes.
No, it was like a second cousin, you know. you know. Okay. What else could be a possibility? Your name again?
Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Maybe like grape juice isn't ideal because poetry now, so it just became like also we could say bracha on it because we're using it for like making kiddush. Let's say we're not going to just say the word bracha because we're using it as a great form. So if the ideal is wine, then you would just say bracha.
Okay. You getting there?
I don't know if this applies here, but isn't there a concept like low poly that we don't differentiate? So then, what does differentiate
mean? I mean, yeah, one thing we don't differentiate, but like what Sarah said, like when you crush, and we might do differentiate. We have to differentiate sometimes, or else, right?
Maybe
the name?
Kayla.
Kayla.
Maybe it's just because they look the same. So if you had two cups of wine and one's wine, one's grape juice, you wouldn't be able to tell, so you just make the same bracha. The rabbis don't want to like confuse us.
Okay.
For our benefit, so don't make the wrong bracha.
Which they thought we would make the wrong bracha.
Because they look the same.
They look the same. Okay. Okay, you're all saying good things. Let's hear what. But your name is
Vina.
Vina.
Yeah, maybe because at one point, wine in the process of making wine was grape juice.
Explain.
I mean, before it was like fermented, or like before, the process of making wine takes years. So in the beginning of the process, it was grape juice originally, just like crushed grapes, and then it turned into wine.
Oh, so what you, let me say if it was what you're saying. That maybe the idea is that the grape juice potentially could ferment and become intoxicating. So even though it didn't yet reach that stage yet, but the potential it could get there, and then, in other words, orange juice is never going to intoxicate. But grape juice has that potential, so then maybe what? Therefore, the potential alone warrants it to be a Borei Pirei Gofen.
Okay, if it stays on potential, then why wouldn't you say Hamotzi on Dill? Because it has the potential to become.
Ooh. 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 She as well. Why don't you make Hamotzi on dough? So, how do we answer that question? Well, she's asking an excellent question. In other words, we're working with potential, so you should make hamotzi on dough. Meaning, maybe what you're saying is, dough you have to put in the oven. You have to do something. It's not gonna become. On its own. The grape juice, just leave it there. And with time, it'll ferment. But dough, you have to put it into the oven. It's not going to just happen on its own. Oh. So then, we still have to go back to Lisi's point. Why? In other words, we just explained now why even grape juice could be Borei Pirei Gofen. So what is still the difficulty? I guess the science majors here could maybe help out.
It's not yet alcoholic.
Well, that's the point. It will potentially.
Well, the grape juice we use can't possibly become wine anymore.
Oh. What's your name again?
Rebecca,
right. Why?
Because
of the additives and pasteurized. In other words, it's not just pure natural grape juice.
we do a lot of things to it that could stunt this potential, and then that would, you know, basically undermine that whole point of the potential, because maybe we ruined the potential. You want to say something?
Yeah. But thinking about the actual words of the bracha, there's no issue. It doesn't seem like there's an issue with saying or in Korean Gafen. Like, the translation still works for it.
Right, you're making a good point. In other words, the words fit it.
Yeah.
Because it came from the Gefen.
Yeah.
Right. So it could be, what you're saying is, that maybe b'dieved it would be okay, even if it didn't have the potential. But that doesn't mean that we should do that l'chatchila. Because, like someone just said, that our grape juice today, it's not, I don't know, maybe if you'll leave it for 10 years, I don't know, but it's not necessarily on the process of becoming intoxicating, fermenting, and becoming into wine. Maybe that only applied to the grape juice of yesteryear, where they just left it as is. So that's why there is a big controversy in the poskim. In fact, many poskim say it's not the majority opinion of today. The majority opinion of today is that we just may pour guffin on grape juice, but it's far from a simple matter, because it could be that today it doesn't even have potential. And then if that would be the case, then maybe it would just be a Bari Pera Eitz or a Shahakol or something like that. So this was a big discussion in the postgame in the early years. It's interesting, Rabbi Chalap, who used to be the dean in Ritz, he always used to say that when he was growing up, years ago, he says one of the main divides between Orthodoxy and other branches of Judaism was that in Orthodoxy no one would ever make Kiddush on grape juice. And it's interesting how things change with time. And now it's accepted in all the communities, you know, from the Hasidic communities to the Yeshiva community, the whole spectrum. But it still doesn't make it so simple that would be the case, unless you say, like someone is saying, maybe it still has potential, but I leave that up to the science majors here to, you know, to tell me if they think that's the reality or not. But that's why it's definitely preferable always to, you know, to make Kiddush on real wine, if you could. Because, first of all, in other words, the order of the hierarchy is like this. The mitzvah min hamufcher is wine, because it's really mesamach. One second, I'll think. And then the second level is to use grape juice, which was not touched at all. And then the bottom level is to use the grape juice that we have today, but that would be the three levels. But again, so what did we discuss? What are you saying?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Shira. So I understand the best would be, let's say, wine first and then grape juice. But what if we factor in also the fact that, like, let's say, people like grape juice better, or like the fact that people do that nowadays, like, isn't there something there that you can, like, factor in?
Right. That's an interesting point that you make, that people maybe like it. That could be more in Hilchas Pesach, like Rav Shechter said, I think from Rav Soloveitchik, that for Cheirus on Pesach,
maybe if you have wine, if you don't like it, it's going to, you know, maybe that's not so much cheiros. Like Moshe Feinstein discussed that. Maybe that's not cheiros. But the question is, just because you like it doesn't mean that that's what the halacha, you know, says is the preferred way. Okay, so what did we say? So we said we discussed what is lechem. We said lechem doesn't, bread is not the, really the best translation. It's the baked dough. And we said that wine is, that yayin is not necessarily wine. It's anything that comes from the grape that potentially could become intoxicating. And what is the common thread that lechem and yayin have? So I tell you, lechem and yayin have the common thread that when you make hamotzi lechem in haaretz, then you don't have to make brachas on the other sort of badeport, on other meal type foods at the meal. Whereas you're going to make hamotzi on Shabbos, and then when you have the chicken and the potatoes, at least the meal type foods, not necessarily the desserts, but the meal type foods are going to be included in that. And what about yayin? So the halacha is when you make bor priya gafed, and then you have wine, then you don't make shahako on the beverages. Like when you're at a kiddush, and now you're going to have soda. So then you're not necessarily going to make, you could drink the soda now if you actually drank the wine. Now, whereas if you're just a listener, you just heard kids, but you didn't drink the wine, then what? Then you would have to make a shahakol and the soda. But if you say drank the wine, then you, just like by hamotzi, it exempts the foods, so too bor priya gafen exempts the bracha on the beverages. So that's the parallel. And this is the, in the food thing, the bread, the baked isa takes care of all the other foods, are considered subordinate to that, and the most chashuv drink is the yayin, and that's going to be taking care of the other liquids as well. The only question is, by yayin, is that there's a discussion of how much wine do you have to drink for that too. Like, by bread, you know, you can't just have a little crumb. You know, on a crumb you make hamotzi, but that doesn't mean that that will exempt. In other words, you have to have some chashivas of, you know, a nice piece of bread. And the question is then, by wine, how much do you need? Is it just, you know, just to drink a cup, or does it mean only if you're having a substantial, like, you know, people are just like wine tasting or something like that? So that's a debate in the poskim. So then what are you supposed to do at a kiddush? So either, well, most women probably don't even drink the wine at the kiddush in the shul. I don't know, you tell me. Right? But if you did, so then you'll be a little stuck. Like, what do I do with the soda? So what's the eitzah? You know what the eitzah is? No, the eitzah is herring. Because if you have the herring, tuna fish, egg salad, so then for sure you can make a shahakal on that, because it's not what? It's a shahakal that's not a liquid. And that for sure, and then that will definitely exempt any drink that you're going to have as well. So that would... take care of that problem. Now, as we said before, when you have the lechem and you make hamotzi, then all the other foods in the meal are taken care of, but not exactly everything. In other words, the way Rabbi Glad explains, based on the Rabbeinu Yonah, it's only the meal-type foods are exempt, like the chicken, the what? The potatoes, you know, meal-type foods. But the snack-type foods are not exempt, are not exempt. So therefore, if you're going to have, you know, watermelon, say, for dessert, so that's not a meal-type food. It's not like the same as carrots or things like that. So then you'd have to make a bracha, whether the bracha is on an apple, Baruch Ha'etz, or Baruch Pri Adama, etc. Or even shahakal on ice cream or something like that. But what if you have cake for dessert? Oh, cake for dessert. So what would you say to that? What's your name?
Hannah.
Hannah.
Maybe if you're eating to satiate, then it's included, but if you're eating it like for pleasure, then it's not included.
Yeah, that's very good what you're saying. But that's going to be the conclusion. But before we get to that conclusion, why would cake be different than watermelon or ice cream or apple? Why would cake be different? What's your name?
Chaya.
Because
cake is considered like lechem.
Oh, exactly. She got it. Cake is considered lechem, so maybe cake would be included into the motzi lechem and aretz like automatically, because it's because like we said before, now everything ties together. So cake could be different. But then, Hannah, but then we have to employ what Hannah says, and that is, like, based on the Shalar, or Shatan, or Badi, different poskim say, that cake could be dependent upon why you're eating the cake. So there was, since cake really should be included in the motzi, really, because it's, we got through saying that it's really lechem. It's really lechem. But it's only if you're having it really, not to fill yourself up, but because you're really full already. If you're having it because you just like the sweets, so then what? So then you'd make a mezonos on the cake. But the watermelon or the other things that you're having, that wouldn't make a difference while you're eating it, because that's a separate part. It's and it's not in automatic in the lechem, but this is really lechem, because we said that when you eat a lot, you make hamotzi lechem, even on the cakes and the cookies, because it really is lechem, because the definition of lechem is not bread, but it's cake pizza, right? So that's the difference. And what if you drink wine in the middle of the meal? So this is the klal. When you have drinks in the middle of the meal, they're considered part of the meal. Except for wine. Because since wine is chashev, just like we said, wine is chashev, and therefore what? It gets its own bracha. It's no longer Baruch Pri Ha'etz. So too, even though it really is a beverage and you're eating it in the meal, nonetheless, what? It's Hashivas lets you or requires you to make a bracha even in the middle of the meal, except if you already had, say, on Shabbos when you make Kiddush before and then you drank from the wine. So then, even if you have wine later in the meal, it's already covered with the wine you had for Kiddush. But say you didn't drink any wine in the Kiddush, or you want to make now drink wine in the middle of the meal, so then you have to make a Baruch Pri Gafen, even though it's the middle of the meal, and it's part of the meal. Especially those days, in certain countries today, like wine is is the given beverage at the meal. Not like today, like regular people here, you know, we don't have dinner and now we take out wine. You know, so that's not our way of eating dinner. But nonetheless, wine has its chashivas that it makes gets the bar pir gofen even in the middle of the meal. You wanted to say something? No?
Actually,
oh, you wanted to say something?
So can bread exempt foods and wine exempt beverages? Look, it's actually that the bread exempts food and beverages, just not wine.
Bread, right, in other words, that's true. In other words, bread exempts foods. It also exempts beverages except wine. Right. That is true. Yes.
What is dessert types do we need also require some
breakfast?
Like a drink that's also more like for pleasure, like a dessert smoothie or something?
Like a smoothie.
Or like taco for dessert.
Taco for dessert. So then also it would be... wouldn't have a bracha because it's a in fact, some poskim of body holes that maybe like certain like ices or things like that could be maybe considered like a beverage as well.
So they wouldn't either on bracha.
So then, if they're considered like a liquid, then they would not.
Even if it's a dessert liquid.
Because wow. Liquids are part of the. You know, liquids, you know, just help you if you have a meal. It just helps you, you know, sort of wash things down, and even things like a frozen thing, you know, some post can hold that would also
ice cream.
So ice cream is a whole discussion. Because ice cream maybe is more of like, and there might be a difference between parv ice cream, liquid this, but ice cream. Say in many meals we have a parv ice cream, whatever. We still ice cream might be still different than ices, but something to think about. But that's yeah.
How does Hatovah
Ameitiv
come into play?
Yeah, Hatovah Ameitiv. You have to invite me back another night to figure out Hatovah Ameitiv. But Hatovah Ameitiv, if you're having a better wine afterwards than but Bezer Shem, when you have a child, you have a boy, he make Hatovah Ameitiv. You have a girl, the minhag is to make Shachianu. And you have a boy, you make Hatovah Ameitiv. Why that is, that's a separate discussion as well. Hatovah Ameitiv usually is for something that a new thing that you're going to enjoy with someone else. That's not the difference between the boy and the girl. So that's the difference when you have a family and you buy a car and it's going to be used by the whole family, that you make a tova meitiv as opposed to something that you just bought for yourself and you're very happy about, so you can make a shechianu on that. Okay, yeah.
If families are very hot on dessert, and so much that everyone knows that dessert is coming, and like they're saving room in their stomachs for dessert, then do they, and like even when they're making bubble tea, they have a time, they're having dessert.
Right, yeah, I'm also hot on dessert. Yeah.
And do you still eat
cereal? Yeah, there is a sheet that holds that, you know, that maybe in that case not, but most opinions still say, I'm not saying all opinions, most opinions still say that even though you're machmir on dessert and your family always has dessert and that's like a given and you know it's coming, but many poskim hold and the Bader writes the Sefer that since it's a snack type food, just because of the nature of the food gets its requirement to have its own bracha.
If you have like watermelon at the end of your meal, so you say hatamah, do you bench and that covers it, or you have to also say?
No, the benching will cover it. Yeah, the benching will. So you don't make a bray nefashos. Okay, so let's just review a little bit what we said. And okay, we started out by saying that translations of words that we have in Chumash don't necessarily correlate with halacha. And we gave an example of what? Hotzah, right? The Isra of Hotzah is not, just carrying is not the proper definition, because even if you wouldn't, like, say you have a stroller, so you're not carrying, right? But you're taking out from the private domain to a public domain, that would also be considered Hotzah. I'll give you another example that I didn't say before, but another example. Had it bias. What is a bias? House, right? But we know that the post can point out that if you have a house and there are many rooms in the house, we put a mezuzah on each room because each room is considered a bias for tzniyatzvah. Even though we would call it a room, we wouldn't call it a house. But because the definition of a bias in halacha is not necessarily a house, but it's a place of dwelling. A place of dwelling. So each room is its own place of dwelling. So even though you would say that's a room, but you see in halacha, the way we define things colloquial will not necessarily fit in with what the halach is. So that's why we said that lechem is considered a baked product, like Shef says, and yayin is baked dough, and yayin is considered something that comes from the liquid that comes out of the grape, even though it's not, we wouldn't necessarily call it wine, it's juice, but that's also yayin. And then the only discussion is, what if you're, the potential cannot be reached because you did something to it, and that would, and then we discussed the parallel of bread and wine, that bread is poter kol minei ochlin, yayin kol minei mashkin, and then but the yayin in the suda is, it gets its own bracha. And then we discussed the desserts, that the desserts are chayiv if they're snack type foods. But we said that mezonos, like you said, mezonos is automatic, right? Because mezonos is lechem. So it's provided that there's not all mezonos is lechem. That's one thing we should point out that we didn't point out. They say, for example, it has to have what we call a tzuras hapas. It has to have the Shefter says it has to be like a loaf. But if it's like the Shefter pointed out, like spaghetti is also mezonos. But that wouldn't be considered lechem because it's not a loaf form. So that's another part of the definition. That was another part of the definition. Okay, Rabbi Jose, so this is some of the ideas of the old klal that we have, we don't have enough time to fully discuss it, but is that ikar metafel, that we make a bracha on the ikar, and it exempts the tafel. So say you have two things that you're eating together. Say you have a cracker and some a cracker and some peanut butter. So you'll make a bracha on the cracker. Now sushi, right? You want to figure out what the bracha on sushi is. Yeah, I don't eat your sushi, to tell you the truth. My wife, she likes sushi. I don't know. It's not my thing. But so the klal is like this. Whenever you eat two things together, so and you're eating them together. Let's say you have rice and peas, right? So there are some sheet to say that you should make a separate bracha on the rice, separate bracha on the peas, but that's not the main sheet. The main sheet is if you're eating it together, one one bracha. Cereal and milk, one bracha. Because in every spoonful, you're having the cereal and the milk. You're not eating it separate. So one second. So
you know, there's a one type of thing is if something is servicing the other thing, like the peanut butter is servicing the cracker. It's making the cracker taste better. So then you only make it on the ikkar and not on the tafel. And if one, but say it's not one thing is servicing the other. You're eating it together. So it's like this. If it's clear to you what the main thing is for you or for most people, then the bracha is on that. But if it's unclear, then you just make it whatever the roe, whatever the main ingredient is. Right? So if you're having cereal and milk, there's more cereal and milk than you would make on the roe. The one exception to the rule is that if the two things that you're eating together are what? Are mizonos and something else. Like, what do you call that thing? They have the ice cream with the crackers. What, the cookies and cream?
Chipwich.
What?
Chipwich.
So then, you know, like at the dinner table, just tonight we had this discussion with my wife. We get to the dinner table, and then we have to decide. Because a lot of times you have this fried fish that has a thick coating, and sometimes it's very... Tonight my wife said it's too thin. So only shakal. But sometimes it's like very, very thick. You know, and you're... I can tell you the truth. If you ever go... Next time one of your friends get married in the Marina Del Rey. So I tell you, they have these onion rings. You ever see those onion rings? They're like major. You know, so I happen to be, you know, still afraid that maybe it's that, but Pasha says that's big enough that you just can make a mazonis. Because it's a thick thing. Happens to be in Marina Del Rey that you can get a cracker there, and you can get some meat, and then you can cover it anyway. Or just get a celery. So of course, maybe you have to make a dhamma on the... But if you just make a mizonos, and when you're having... So, like cheesecake, if it's a thick thing of mizonos, then just mizonos. If you're eating it always together. If you're eating the cheese and the crust separately, then it's two separate. But if you're eating it together, the mizonos and the thing, and... The mizonos has a right of some, it's chashik, it's not just, so you know, it's significant. So then, it's just mizonos. So, sushi, no?
I don't know, like, it depends, I think, if you like to eat things. Does it depend if you like to eat things, like, separately and together? Like, I don't know.
Well, what do people eat it? Do they eat it for the fish?
Or
do they eat it for the rice or the vegetables? You tell me. I don't eat.
I had all of them.
All of
them?
Yeah. All of them? Well, all of them. So then,
all the flavors, like, fine.
Yeah, you don't. You do it for the fish?
No.
No? So then, what's the roe? What's the roe?
The rice.
The rice? The rice doesn't count. The mizonos, if it's real mizonos, not rice mizonos, but the hamishin meinim dogan, then even if it's the miyot, it still would that, but rice doesn't have that chashiv. But if it'll be the roe, then it'll win out because it's the roe. But if you tell me that that's what you eat for the rice, I don't know. What do you think?
What about brown rice? Is there,
because
I know, like, there's
not focused about brown rice. Yeah, brown rice. It depends how it's made. It's you know. But that's the.
My follow-up question to that, is it like a
brachah
l'matzah, like you
want to
make a separate
brachah? Yeah, you should. I mean, really, you should eat the way you normally eat. If you'll eat it separately, then... Yeah, but you really should... Yeah, okay. Rabbi Bernstein's pointing out that it could be... That the ride, okay. The ride will wait. Okay. Hopefully. But
Okay, but you have to invite me back. You know, usually I come for the Shabbos. We haven't come since... Last time I came, it was right before COVID.
Yeah,
right? You remember that?
Yeah.
It was an MMY, Michala, yeah. It was good. I was there. And then after that, the world changed. The world, like...
We got Rav Simon in. We needed to have him before...
Yeah, it was good. It was a good Shabbos.
So we'll have Rebbe back.
So we have to cover,
We had another shiur, Mitz Hashem.
Yeah, so, Tov Ametiv, and, okay, so let me just conclude. It's very nice to be here in person. You know, as I said at the beginning of this year, we had our days in Zoom, and the Zoom should come and Zoom should go. Less for the people that, you know, can't come anyways, want to listen to a shiur. There's some people who still, so I still give the shiur on Zoom also, but the main thing is to be in, you know, Yiddishkeit is not about, you know, separation. It's not about isolation. Okay, if people are sick, then they have to. But I'm saying, but the real Yiddishkeit is people getting together and interacting with people, and that's what it's all about. So, and you know, you can't have, you know, as I was telling Talmidim, you know, you can Zoom date up to a point, and then you have to meet the person. You know what I mean? You know, up to a point. So, Bez Hashem, you should all be well. It's nice to see you all. It's nice to be here. It's been a long time since I've actually been here. So it's good. It should continue this way. You should all be matzliach.
So very quick thank you to